Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
A portion of a large bridge in Baltimore in America has collapsed after a boat collided with it early this morning. Authorities and crews are working to rescue people. According to a video on social media, the crash caused multiple vehicles to fall into the water below. The UK has airdropped food supplies into Gaza for the first time. The Royal Air Force parachuted more than 10 tons of aid, including water, rice, cooking oil, tinned goods and baby formula to people yesterday. It comes as the UN Security Council has called for an immediate ceasefire. And Wales are preparing for their Euro 2024 playoff final against Poland in Cardiff. Victory will see them qualify for the tournament in Germany this summer. Manager Rob Page says the build-up to the game since the Finland win has gone well.
We've had a good couple of days, had a chance to recover the lads that needed to, work some of the others, and then got together and worked on a game plan again that we think is going to go and win us again.
That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Peggy Walker.
Mum first died, and she couldn't work out how to prepare a legendary roast. Mum died again when she asked me what my name was. On the 10th of March, Mum died a final time, surrounded by her family.
With dementia, you die again and again and again. Which is why at Alzheimer's Society, we'll be with you again and again and again.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Have you ever had a text from what seems to be your daughter claiming she's in trouble and requesting money? Or an email from what seems to be your bank asking you to verify your details? Both urgent and from someone that seems legitimate, but are they really who they say they are? Fraud affects millions of people every year and accounts for almost 40% of all crime. Fraud is getting more sophisticated and it can happen to anyone. Always take a moment to stop, think and check. Find out how to stay ahead of scams at gov.uk/stop-think-fraud.
It's the new Colourful Drive with me, Mac, from 4 till 7 p.m.
So that means you have me for a whole 3 hours. How do you feel about that?
Good.
I hope so. Unacceptable. Listen, it's Burner Boy. Okay, up next is going to be the Colourful Radio Record of the Week.
The new Colourful Drive with me, Mac, from 4 till 7 p.m. Current affairs, Record of the Week, the music and you.
Hi, I'm Mabel. As a black person with a family history of type 2 diabetes, I knew I had a higher risk of developing diabetes. I first found out about the Healthier You NHS Diabetes Prevention Program from my local GP practice, who referred me after a blood test found high blood sugar levels. The knowledge I gained from the program helped me turn things around. Type 2 diabetes is largely preventable through lifestyle changes like eating healthily and being more active. I feel more energized and I've lost weight too, which has boosted my confidence. I see life in another light. So my advice to anyone over 25 years old is to search Diabetes Know Your Risk online today and answer 7 simple questions to find out your risk. Around 200,000 people are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes every year. You don't need to be one of them.
Hello, I'm Dr. Sheon Bakare. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. Don't let the worry of cancer play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Until you find out, you can't rule it out. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. And we keep talking about politics, we talk about health, we talk about so many issues that concerns our lives. But today is a great day we are going to talk about something we never hardly ever talk about, but it impacts on our life, the way we live it. Guess what? When you want to go out, where do you go to? When you plan to surprise your wife or husband or child, where do you go to? A restaurant, because you want to have a nice, nice, wonderful meal. But it takes someone to prepare that meal. And these people, we hardly ever talk about them. But every big event, whether it's an Hollywood Grammy Awards to wherever, the entertainment part is always there. But do we ever stop and think about who was behind that great work? Who made us so happy because we ate our favorite meal? You know, today is an opportunity which I've never had before to talk about a great man who has done a lot of work in different parts of the UK, and he's also still doing that great work. And this is now a focus on a special man known as Chef Nandu. His real name, other name away from Chef Nandu, is Nand Kishore. And I'm in a nice, wonderful place. Last time I was in this place, Maidenhead, in the UK, was away, long time ago, 1993, I came around. Many people who see River Thames in London, they never know it passes another place in the UK. But I had a wonderful, wonderful cruise on a boat in Maidenhead, and we ended up in what we call Thames Locks. Great. So it's great memory for me, and I'm happy to be here. I'm in a nice restaurant known as the White Hart in Hollyport, Maidenhead. So join us today. We are coming to you, of course, from the heart of London. Oh, from today, from Maidenhead to wherever you are in the world. So join us. Welcome to the show, Nand Kishore.
Thank you very much, Julius. Thanks a lot for giving this platform and the opportunity to speak about the food and probably the hardest part of your question to answer, actually. So thank you.
Now, a long time ago, when I was a student in university, I used to work as a night manager in an hotel, and I needed to do that so I would have had enough time during the day to attend my lectures. But while I was working in an hotel as a manager, sometimes Sundays, I had to be trained to do a few things about the breakfast on a weekend because transport runs late and the chef would be late. Are you guilty of such a crime? Having worked as a chef in the UK.
Well, actually, you know, this is a very common practice. Well, while you're depending on the public transport, sometimes it happens, but then obviously you have to be, prepared yourself, because, the breakfast is the more responsible shift, where you have, especially when you are in hotel, okay, though you have early checkouts and you have to make sure the breakfast is ready for the guest, and then, you don't want to start your day with the complaint that, okay, the breakfast is late. So, yeah, sometimes it, when it happens, usually, because being as a supervisor or a manager or a chef, you have to have your always second option, just in case. Because you never know when this just in case can arise when you transport. So it is always, you have a always second alternate if someone is late, how you're going to handle.
So yeah, they used to tell me, don't worry, if I'm running late, sausages will be in the fridge. They're ready, you just need to warm them up. They'll tell me many things, and I'm like, by the hell of it all, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm not a chef. What if I don't get it right? You know, all those things. And I'm like, wow. But when you are put on the spot, and actually, chef was running late, you actually had to do something because, oh, what else? What other option? Complaining guest? You don't want to deal with that, do you?
Yeah. I'll tell you a very interesting story, Julius. It's this... a long time ago, I'm talking about nearly 15 years ago, like used to be a breakfast chef. I was covering, the breakfast chef. And we used to have a big breakfast group in the morning. So I was like, obviously, because I was the supervisor and I wanted to make sure that everything is right, so to avoid any kind of disappointment or complaints with the guest, one of my colleagues, he had an accident. unfortunately. But the best part, and you know, I always remember this thing, and I always tell to my colleague and you know, the newcomers, what is the responsibility and the, you know. So he had an accident on his bike. Somehow, you know, he didn't just call me that he's being late. He only said that Keshav, I'll be late when he came to the hotel. He was in completely pain. And what he did is, he didn't tell me nothing. He just made sure the breakfast, we, you know, sent the breakfast, everything, and after 2 hours, and then he told me his shoulder was swollen.
Oh, no.
And immediately, you know, I just spoke to my manager and sent him to the hospital. It's not about, you know, if he wanted, he could have said, you know, that, okay, yeah, I'm not coming, I had an accident. But the way he showed his loyalty and, you know, the importance of the breakfast things, you know, that is always remains in my all memories and experience. Wherever I go, you know, now I've been in this industry for last 25 years, okay. But wow. When I speak to the colleagues, I always give his example.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So, therefore, yeah, I know when I was small, I used to want to be so many things. I used to be a fan of Bruce Lee in karate. I'll see myself as a professional karate man. Boxing, I was a bit scared. I never wanted to be punched, even once.
I hate boxing. Doesn't matter you win or lose, you always get punched.
Rugby, I loved it. But I found it was too violent.
Yeah,
about
too violent.
Seven people on landing on you when you're on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to suffocate either. So I wanted to be many things, but in the end, I found myself being a journalist. Why chef?
Well, that's a very tricky and question. Usually, it's a very interesting story, Julius. When I was, I was average, average student. But what I believe, actually, there are only, I wanted to be a successful man, okay? And there are only two ways. Either you are too smart, too brilliant in study, or you've got a good skill. So one of my friend, I'm always thankful to him. Okay, he knew me because I used to love cooking and help moms. I used to go around the houses if they are throwing any party, and I used to help them up. Okay, so he knew, and he come and told me that, you know what, I know you can, if you want, you can do something in, like, you know, in other career. But if you choose hotel, if you choose cooking, probably you can go sky is limit for you. This is what he told me. And then after, I started thinking of that. So I choose, I choose cooking. And then I started, because I know that, yeah, this is a skillful job. So I learned. And that is, this come from I must give all the credit to my friend who has told me about these things. And it makes me interest. And that's where I just get into it.
Wow, you are brave. Look, there's a time I wanted to surprise my wife, and we have in Kenya, and I thought also, no, it's also from India, chapati, everybody knows. From India, Kenyans, everyone knows chapati. It's a very close
community
dish, chapati. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we happen to like chapati quite a lot, and I'll watch my wife do it. It was so quick. It was so professional. I used to think, easy. So one day I thought, it's her birthday. I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to make chapati for her. Now, listen, my friend. I started mixing the dough from the dough. We moved to the table in the kitchen. And we kept going to the sink. Along the way, too much water, less plain flour. Sometimes it's too much harder and overflowing. I put more water, too soft, and it kept going. By the time she came, she found her kitchen was totally white. And there was another white guy there who was mean because I've mixed with a plain flour, trying to make dough. And she said to me from afar, "It's the thought that counts." I'm taking over. and I gave up. So today I can make a few things here and there. But I know what I can, and I know what I can't. I mean, was it easy for you? Because now, you're a chef. You just don't do one thing. You do more than one thing and a lot more complicated.
Well, to be honest with you, if you're comparing with your wife that you can be better with her, so forget about that one. So that okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, well, jokes apart. But it, look, chapati is, when someone is making,
yeah,
it looks very easy.
Yeah, it's very easy.
It looks very easy. Like, mm-hmm. You know, kneading the dough.
Yeah.
Because it comes with the practice. When you see, you know, you can by feel, you can say whether it is soft, hard, you know, what, I mean, you know, the amount of water you need, okay, the resting time is, you know, because sometimes initially when you knead the dough and it takes some resting, because everything in every cooking, resting is very important. It gives, you know, some time to erase and make it a bit softer. And then you can roll. So it depends, like, you know, it takes ages to make a very round chapatis.
Yeah.
So it is all about the practice.
Yeah.
It's all about practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way you can learn doing this one, ask your wife to sit down and watch TV and you start going making chapati every day. So
I don't want to be embarrassed again. Once beaten, twice shy. I'd rather make pasta.
That's much easier. That's much easier.
That one I can handle it without fear of embarrassment.
So cooking is all about you know, the skill. It's, look, skill, your passion.
Yeah.
That's all. That's very important. Because if you are not passionate about anything, you know, it makes you harder. But when you are passionate about cooking, you will be more curious. Okay, you will be more curious to know, okay, how it is. You will find the way, which way you can make it easier, how you can make it much prettier, tastier, you know. So that is all about your passion. You know, some people, you know, when you go home, they invite 5, 6 people, 10 people at home, they throw the party, and they just cook by their passion and love. And, you know, you see, when you cook something with your love, you know, that gives a different level. You can't compare with that. Thanks.
This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
No, it's passion, yes. Your passion gives you focus, isn't it?
Yeah, and exactly.
It gives you the will to even learn. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Now you're not just a chef, but you are an entrepreneur, of course, businessman, a successful businessman. And now we are here in the White Hart. White Hart is a restaurant come pub in Maidenhead. Now, when you talk about your transition from just working as a chef, how did you get into business? And also, not to mention also, of course, you talk about your businesses as well. You can use that opportunity for that as well.
Well, actually, you know, like, I am a kind of person who always, you know, set the target, set the goals for life, and the you know, the work towards. So, because obviously, I dream about when I started my hotel management, okay, and I just wanted to. There were obviously, you have some role models and you want to follow them and you want to achieve that. So my highest level was, like, you know, head chef. So I had set my target. Okay, that, okay, yes, I wanted to be head chef in 10 years. But fortunately, I became head chef before that. And then my next, you know, target was to have my own restaurant, chain of restaurant or pub. So then, you know, once I become head chef, and then obviously I shared this, you know, I mean, thoughts to with my wife, and that, yeah, I just wanted to start my own business on things. And yes, and she supported all the way through. Okay, and the reason I'm here, interview, I mean, you know, obviously with you, okay, it because of her strength, her support, because without that, I would have not been able to do that. Okay, so she just let me do whatever I want to do, I want to achieve. So that's freely, like, you know, I'm just doing it. So in 2012, I started, you know, with my restaurant. And that was a long time. I mean, obviously, you go, I started with an Indian restaurant. Then I went to, again, a fusion restaurant. And I'm in the pub business from last 7-8 years. Okay, I've done a lot of catering stuff as well. I do catering, like, you know, central London based, and I'm not bound to any food, you know, like only Asian or Chinese. I'm quite willing. I've got 25 years of experience. Okay, worked professionally, you know, worked on the cruise where 120 nationalities were there. So, you know, meeting with the people, tasting their food, making their food. So that gives me a lot of opportunity to expand my expertise. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, 2012 I started, and now here I am. I did catering for Strictly Come Dancing in Ulster Film Studio. I was the only Asian chef who did the Chelsea Flower Show. You know, the catering for, and the first time ever there is Indian food being introduced over there, and it, you know, much appreciated, you know, with everybody, and where I was fortunate enough, like, you know, that I can say it's a lifetime achievement for me that, you know, the Queen inaugurated that Chelsea Flower Show, late Queen, okay, and obviously, yes, we had the opportunity to meet her over there. So, yes, the journey started. Now I'm quite happy. Obviously, looking more to expand. Okay. So, this is like 25 years of journey. And, yes, still I have got, you know, set targets and to achieve that. And I'm just working towards it. Because I believe that without setting a target, you have no, you know, path to achieve something. When you have said something, then you work towards it to achieve that one. So yeah, this is it.
That's very true. You have to set target and work towards it. That's a lot of wisdom. So probably in your journey now as a chef, could you just expand on that? Where did you work as chef? Which hotels?
Well,
I know you talked about it.
Yes. Yeah, I started my career, you know, in October 1999 with, you know, it's a very famous group in India, is called the Welcome Group, where, you know, the late chef and a celebrity chef called Imtiaz Qureshi. I was fortunate enough also when I finished my hotel management and when I joined the Welcome Group of Hotel in India. He was there to open the hotel. Usually, it's in India, like, you know, or anywhere in the world, when you have coming a big chain group of hotels, so the all celebrity chefs, they come, you know, while they are there to, you know, open, to make sure that everything is, you know, everything is on correctly, and they train the staff. So I was lucky enough to work, you know, train with Imtiaz Qureshi, and then after, you know, his brother Mumtaz Qureshi, they are the master chefs, you know, the Moria Sheraton, where he's, you know, his name is there. Okay, so Dum Pukht and Bukhara, it's a very traditional Indian, you know, cooking style is there. So they invented the dum cooking. Okay, so I worked with ITC, then I moved to Hilton, and I worked for Oberoi. That is also the biggest chain in India. Okay, I worked there for 2 years in Oberoi, and after that I got an opportunity to go abroad, you know, to work on the cruise, and I was, like, you know, on the Carnival Cruise Lines. It is world's largest leading cruise line. So I worked with Carnival for 5 years, and then obviously after that got married in 2006. And we were not allowed to keep our family on the cruise. So I decided to move to the land. So then I moved to UK, worked in five-star hotels, some Rojet's restaurants, you know, as a head chef. And yeah, that's how, like, complete, like, worked till head chef for 15 years, and then started. Now still I'm working as a chef also, plus taking care of my business.
Wow, that's a great journey. That's a great journey, really. And it's not a walkover. It's you make it sound so easy, but it's not. It's a lot. I know the responsibilities of being head chef in a 5-star hotel is away from my journalism. When I was studying, I had to work as a manager in an hotel, so I know exactly what that means. So when you think about your experience as a chef and now your business, do you think your business benefits from your experience as a chef?
Yes, it benefits, you know, it gives you, because you know what, you know what you're doing. You know, because I've been in this business, before we were doing, you know, obviously working for hotels, and the same kind of job we were doing. In the end of the day, it is all about your customer service, your customer satisfaction. If you're making customer happy, everything is, you know. So we learn how to, you know, fulfill the customer's, you know, requirements, okay? And the benefit of being a chef, I can come to the customer, I can ask, I can tell them, I always advise them, because when you're coming to the, you know, restaurant, you know, obviously sometimes you don't want to go and see 5-6 pages menu. Suppose you come to my restaurant, I say, hi Julius, how are you? Okay, all, yeah, what would you like? And this is what we have got, that chef special. So without, you know, I can full, without asking, rather than you ask me, okay, what you have and all, I can explain you thing. I can make the things easier. Suppose you have got some, you know, doubts that what it contains, like nowadays, you know, our allergens, you know, things like, you know, people, they have got more, they're more health concern and all. So I always, you know, find very much easier to go to the customer, to explain them, to make their, you know, make them happy, okay, what they want, to help them, they're in the choosing the dishes. So I think definitely, you know, it is a plus point and bonus being chef and plus the owner.
I quite agree. The customer, who happens to be me sometimes, some of them, just like me, we struggle about, you know, understanding the menu. Sometimes you go by the visuals, what you see on the menu, the picture. And I've gone to a couple of restaurants and I ordered, for example, I'll never forget going to Hawaiian restaurant, and I see this nice picture with the barbecue and all that, and I thought that's what I want, but I didn't read a lot, I went by the picture. But when they bring it to me, it's a huge bowl of full of hot water and thin paper slices of meat on the water, and I confidently say that was not my order. They came to the menu, pointed, is this what you ordered? I said, yeah, look at the picture. And they said, this is it. So I'm like, no one talked about any water anywhere. It looked like wonderful sizzling barbecue, you know?
Yeah.
A nice thin slices of meat on top of hot water. So I don't know, sometimes understanding the menu is always a challenge. So have you ever come across that, or do you always go out to help customers to understand the menu?
Well, well, you know what, Julius, it's a very you know, common practice, because obviously nowadays the, you know, the crisis, staff crisis, okay, it's very difficult to find a professional staff where they have a good knowledge, okay. And not only that, what my belief is, you know, you have to train your staff so they know what is the menu says, what does it mean, and they are quite capable, they should be quite capable enough to make customer understand that, okay, yes, if they are asking something, suppose you're going by visuals, you know, the pictures and all, probably if I was there, I could have tell you that, okay, yes, no, this is what, it's not your, it's what you are looking for. So it is very important for your staff. So usually what I do, like, you know, front of the staff, anything, we introduce the new menu or any new dish, I always have a meeting, you know, doesn't matter, because more importantly, your service staff should be involved in there, because chefs, they know what they're making. But service staff, they have to, you know that, okay, what comes in the dish and how does it look. So they will be more confident to explain the customer and, you know, to make the customer happy.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
Now, it's very important because without helping customer to understand the menu,
yeah,
they can be disappointed. You can order almost 3 times, but still you're getting it wrong. It doesn't help. You know, you've been in London, you've worked in hotels, and you know how it is like. And
it is.
Even some of these menus are in French, but we are in England. People speak English. Hardly do you find anyone speaking French in a restaurant, but the menu is in
French.
So I'm like, why do they do that? Let's stick to what we know. If you want to say fish and chips, it's okay. I will know what you're talking about. But when you start fancy French names on a menu, it's so confusing.
It is, it is confusing. And in a way, people, again, there are ways to look at it. Mm-hmm. Because what I find, like, you know, if the, probably the perception should be like, you know, the thinking should be, okay, if they are a French restaurant, and if they will be putting all the menu's name in the French.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are in England, and, you know, the common language in English is supposed to be, but
It's
on the every individual restaurant. They have right and things, you know, probably they should come up with some kind of to people who can make them understand, or probably some, I never come across with this kind of thing. But yes, if they're having they should have English as well, so to make customer, you don't want to confuse the customer. You don't want to give more hard work when you come and you say, oh my God, what that? Then you have to wait for, you know, someone else to come and explain you, rather than you can read the menu, you can understand actually that, okay, what you are having. So I think more or less, you know, depends on the individuals, like how they want to, you know, design their menu, what they want to put and write, you know, that's...
For the benefit of talking to you as a chef, because you have those two wonderful hats that you wear, one entrepreneur, the other one as a chef. Now, as a chef, of course, for those who inspire to be chefs, like for me, I have a dream. One day I'll make good chapati for my wife. So those who want to be chefs, I mean, did you have to encounter any challenges, or was it just easy running?
Well, it's, you know, in life, I do remember, one of my mentor chef used to say, that Nandu, life is not a bed of roses. So there is, you know, Julius, there is nothing easy. There is nothing easy in this life, and there is nothing called difficult. It is all about you. So challenges, if you say, yeah, every stage there is a challenge. I mean, I do remember, you know, in 2001 when I was with the Oberoi's, okay. I was with I gave in one interview also, I was serving a Japanese group, and I was making noodles for them. And unfortunately, you know, I was using a slicer was having a screw in there, and that screw was in without my things. I was just stirring the noodles, and the screw drops in the noodles, and customer found it. So what happened that, you know, it was a big group, and obviously they were giving a lot of business to the customer, to the hotel, to the Oberoi. So what Oberoi did, because every hotel has their policy, so they had to refund a good amount of money to the whole group. And then I went called and obviously asked the reason why and what happened, when obviously they found out some, you know, It was not my mistake. I didn't did it intentionally. But obviously, to ask, you know, careful about that. So, challenges is always sometimes customer complaint you have to handle. Sometimes you have got your staff conflicts and all. So there is a lot. It's not about only one thing. It's food, food, food. It is all related, you know. When you go there, walks in, some when you are working, we spoke that, you know, someone called sick. So if you are working since morning till, you know, you are about to finish your shift and then you got a phone call that your colleague is sick and you don't have any option.
There are no many. You have to cover
the shift. You have to cover the shift. So what, like, you know, if you have made a plan with your family that, okay, I'm coming tonight for the dinner, we are going somewhere for something. And then this thing happened. So you can't just choose that, okay, yes. You can't say to the customer, look, I have made my plan with my wife, so I can't stay and I can't serve food. So challenges, there are always challenges, you know.
Yeah.
But it is the way you handle it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. In terms of the menu and what people hate, I mean, you've been dealing with food for a long time. Would you say things have changed so much, and if so, in what way? Because one time I went to Central London, I found a restaurant, and looking through the glass, which was just covering the front part of food on display, it looked all like wonderful meat, whatever, barbecues and everything. And in my head, we ate there and we left. I was thinking it was chicken, but actually it was not.
Well, actually, you know, nowadays we call like social media, you know, terms. Here it is, it's playing a very important and vast role. Now everyone knows. Everybody knows what they're having, what it is. Because before, when we started, mobile phones, you know, very, you know, these things was very limited. There was no social media things. The only thing we used to have the Orkut, then after it changed to the Facebook, and now you name it, Instagram, Snapchat, everything. If you're sitting and you're coming to a restaurant, oh, yes, before you, you know, get into the restaurant, everyone knows that, okay, you're going there.
Yeah.
You're whatever you're having, you're sharing there. So now the trend has been changed. Trend has been changed. People's taste has been changed. Now there are more awareness. Okay. Before they're going to get into any place, they search about the place, what it is rating, how the, you know, food hygiene rating is there, what about the cleanliness, you know, the standards, the reviews. That's all very, very important. And people, then they choose. Suppose you tell your family, okay, yeah, we are going tonight to this restaurant. You know what, you won't believe, the kids will come up with the whole story. Okay, yeah, this is right. No, we are not going because this has got this rating, the review is not good. So this is all, like, you know, it has been changed a lot from last, I must say, last 10 years. You know, you can see that one. So people are more aware about what they're having and all.
And do you think they really passionately care what they eat? Or is it a question of just trying to tick boxes, like they're like, I'm eating more vegetables than before, like a New Year's resolution rather than they mean it from their heart?
Yeah. I mean, I come across with, like, you know, if you, you know, now you see the people, they're more turning into vegan, vegetarian. Well, it is, you know, with my experience, I can say, you know, suppose if you are sitting in a group of 5 or 10 people, if you're having dinner, if you want to be acknowledged by the people, you will say, oh, yes, I'm vegan. Okay? So then everyone, oh, my God, you're vegan. Oh, okay. What's vegan? That, like, you know, it is more like attention. Attention, she gets, okay, yes, you've been acknowledged by, okay, and also, like, you know, because I come across again that, okay, vegan, and when we didn't have that option, and she had it, the normal meal.
Yeah.
So it is like, it's both, I must say. You know, it is combination of...
It's amazing. Yeah, now then, in terms of business, of course, you studied some time back. Did you do business across COVID time? Did you face any challenges?
Well, COVID is, it's kind of like it's in 100 years, so people have, experienced this crisis where, everyone was helpless. Every single person was helpless. Obviously, when you are in such situation, and then, you come up with some kind of... obviously, because we had all the restriction around that you can't go, you can't make queue, you can't go into the restaurant. There's a certain distance you have to maintain, and there are a lot of rules and regulations was made by the government to save the people's life. Okay, and then because obviously you are in a hospitality industry, look, human being, you can't stop eating. Okay, so this then we come up with a different idea that why don't we start with a takeaway. Okay, and obviously when we started delivery, and then things started that okay, you probably are not safe if someone is coming to your door, probably he or she has COVID. You get it. Okay, so there was a lot of challenges during the COVID, every single person, but yes, we try put ourselves in a situation where we just waiting for the time, because I am a big believer in the good time and bad time. It's always a part of your life. It's a part of like how we said, there is a two part of the coin. Always one is good, one is bad. So it is not only we were suffering, I was suffering, the whole world was suffering. Okay, so we were just part of it. So we just try to, what we mold ourselves, how the situation was, going. So in COVID, it was very, very challenging. But yes, I did, take away. I did open for the public, okay, with all the restrictions and following the government rules and all. Yeah, it was quite challenging.
This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
But now all that is history, and we hope COVID will never come back. If I was given the chance to be the one who decides whether it comes back or not, I'll tell it not to. I never like to wear it. Mask. I always felt like I was kidnapped. I happened to watch a lot of movies, and one of the images that stuck in my mind was when someone is kidnapped, the first thing they use to tie that cloth on your mouth so that you don't scream and people hear you and know you are trapped. But I used to, anytime you tell me wear the mask, I wouldn't psychologically comfortably do it, because that image was stuck in my head. So it wasn't a pleasant experience, but we thank God you're out of it, as in terms of I don't see COVID coming back the way it was, and I hope not. So out of the COVID era now, at least you're busy doing business, and it's not just one. You have the White Hat in Holyport in Maidenhead.
It's in Maidenhead, yeah.
And then you're also doing Ninaya Catering and all that.
Yeah.
How has it been so far? Any challenges? Well, it's fine.
Is a pub...
Are you about to be a billionaire?
Billionaire, who don't want money? Everyone wants money. Everybody
is
working.
I'm also not allergic to money.
If you are capable enough, and why don't you go for that? Okay. About the White Hart, is in a very lovely village called Holyport. It comes in Maidenhead. Okay, And obviously, my catering company, which is called Ninaya Catering, we are specialized in, you know, mostly the Indian and any other food, Western, corporate events, you know, and we are like, you know, we do indoor, outdoor, any kind of events, you know, birthday party, any celebrations, you know, barbecue parties. That's all we do, weddings, anniversaries, you know, that's all we do. We are, you know, obviously, we last year also we've done in London, Dulwich Rugby Club, Dulwich Cricket Club, and obviously I did catering in Thames River on a boat party with Hinduja Brothers. Okay, they are the millionaire in, you know, in India, very well known, you know, in India. So, yeah, catering is, I'm like, you know, I have so many big celebrities, musical, you know, so probably, I mean, you will be familiar, but there are few singers, very famous singers, they come to in UK, they host their concerts, and then I did catering for them as well. Big London Mela also we do, that's in Trafalgar Square, I was part of, like, you know, the catering team. So Ninaya is doing very well at the moment. But anyone who is looking for fresh food, you know, either we are quite capable to come and cook on the side also. We do cooking over there. If somebody wants to take the food, they can take from food here, and we are willing to deliver the food on the side as well. So Ninaya is, you know, just catering. You know, it's a company, and we are quite open for any kind of food.
No, that's amazing. And then as an interesting question in terms of you started off as a chef and you're doing business. If you found young people wanting to kick off or start business, what will you advise them through your own experience? Do they have to have about billions before they start business, or they start small? I mean,
I mean, you know, Julius, to be very honest with you, me, I like, you know, I come from a very average family, okay? I didn't have much money, whatever. Obviously, the parents' blessings always there. My wife's support is always there. But, you know, to start any business, you don't have to be a millionaire, if, I mean, I must say. Because when you know, for me, obviously, money is everything, but what the most important thing which you need is your dedication and towards, you know, hard working towards your goal. If you want, you have dream that, okay, you want to open a restaurant, all you have to do is that look what it requires, whether you are able to, you know, do it or not. Then check what are the resources are there. How you can be, you know, suppose if you need money, obviously you need money to start. What are your resources you've got, where you can get the money from? And then, you know, you have to tick off the boxes. You have to do a very good survey. You have to search around, okay, what kind of business. First of all, I choose doing a, you know, restaurant business because I was good enough and I know in and out. I don't have to be dependent on any person that, okay, oh my God, if the chef is not coming, then my restaurant will be closed because there is no one to cook. That confident I had and that I know. So I would say first, you have to believe in yourself. That is the main key. Because when you believe yourself and you are confident enough and you are knowledgeful and you have got you know, a passion to drive, then there is no way anybody can stop you what you want to achieve. So that self-belief is very important and to work toward it. That's all I can suggest to the youngster. Okay, don't make your decision into rush. Don't rush yourself. Take your time. Think that, okay, whether it is doable or not. Should I go ahead? What challenges are coming? What challenges I have to face? How I can solve this problem? So once you have these questions, you ask yourself and then you answer. If you think that, okay, yes, you have got this question, you have got all the answers, you are ticking all the boxes, go for it. But self-belief, I must say, is very important with your hard work.
So you sit down, you think about what you want to do, and you have to believe it. Because I think what you are very right. If you don't believe it, no one else will believe it. Or status, you can't believe it yourself. So who should believe what you can't believe? I mean, it's very good advice, I think, and it's very real as well. So where do you see yourself going with Ninaya's chief business? How do you see the future unfolding? Are you going global or countrywide?
Well,
I shouldn't lead you.
You know what, yeah. Julius, it's hard to say, but yes, as I said to you in early part of my interview, that yes, I left my, you know, I had a very good job, okay, obviously head chef, people were working for me, but then I choose, you know, dream to have my own chain of restaurant. Obviously, I'll be looking to and, you know, expand the business. Apart from, you know, expanding the business, I have, you know, that I will do some charity, you know, for the people, for the community, okay, to help the people who were like, you know, needy people or struggling with something, you know, that's my plan. So Ninaya is going to be one of the, you know, we are going to start a charity with Ninaya as well. So, like, you know, the help, people they need helps, we're going to help them out, okay? And it's not going to be, it's going to be in UK and India. I'm already in a talk, but it is little bit early. I just want to, you know, it will take some time, but these are the future plans to expanding, making chain of restaurant, probably franchisee, yes, and charities, definitely.
Do you envisage a situation whereby you'll be training future chefs as well?
Yes, I mean, you know, I'm quite like, obviously, even in Holyport also, I'm going to, you know, organize in this summer, you know, with the college students and, you know, the school students, okay, going and giving them probably a motivational, you know, a speech or kind of a conversation or a chat to become a chef, you know. So, yeah, that is also, I mean, you know, it is considered, and I'll do that one.
Yeah, wow, amazing, amazing. I mean, I can say congrats to your achievement, and you're doing
Thank
what
you.
You like. Amazing. It's good to follow a dream and see it happening. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's great. No, it's been great, and thank you for your insightful thoughts and what we have shared. So, yeah, it's been great. And to our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you on Colorful Radio. So this is me signing off from Maidenhead, Holyport. In Maidenport, I've been talking to Nand Kishore, in other words, known as Great Chef Nandu.
Thank you very much, Julius. Thank you again. And thank you.
This is Colorful Radio.
Yeah, I know what this is. Girl, I want you to stay so we can play this little game we play. Will you go high and I will see? Let me be the one to make you weep.
Holla, let me say.
Too good, hit me back. I've been making some plans for you, babe. What I wanna do, just can't wait. Yeah. Let me know when you wanna wait.
Boy, I'm sorry that I missed your call. I'm on my way when I get home.
Okay.
What you want, I'm trying to see. Yeah. I think I want the same thing.
Make you
confession. Your aura links that pressure. I'm your sugar and a confessor right now. That I wanna try on you. Mo shot Don Julio. So fat I might lose composure. Take you back to my penthouse. Yeah. See if you can like a. Go ahead, touch your baby. Maybe we could do a little role playing. Maybe we can have us a nightcap. Maybe you could be my baby. Damn. Maybe you could do the little thing like you do with your tongue. Eat the whole thing, not leaving no crumbs. Bring your home, girl, it's a 2-on-1. Cause that ain't no fun if your friends can't join. But like I got the code to it. Make a good girl do it like the pros do it. I'm out of my mind that. Good, get down on one knee and propose to it. Yeah.
Girl, I want you to stay. Oh, yeah. So we can play this little game.
Rashida and Nancy, see me whining. Hold on, not talking in bottles. Say, I like to party with Shakira and Beyonce from Miami. I like to chill, chilling with Duse and Jay-Z. Hold on, when the music come up, put it down. I'm like, say, we are raving up. Hold on, when the music come up, we are da-da-dee-dee.
Yummy, 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 y